for the present. In what year?
In the year 1894, April the 9th.
Who were your parents?
John Miles and Lydia Fentress Miles.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had one half-brother and one half-sister and three home sisters.
How long did you live in Ohio County?
I lived in Ohio County 12 years.
From Ohio County, where did you move?
Well, I moved to Breckinridge County and lived there 4 years.
And when did you move to Grayson County?
Well, me and my husband was married in 1911, and we came to Grayson County to live.
Did you come to this farm that we're on now?
No. Farm adjoining down here was his father's farm.
What was your husband's name?
Scott Bradshaw.
Did you raise a family here?
Well, part of my children were born here and part of them were born in Illinois. We went to Illinois when we'd been married 6 years.
How many children do you have?
Well, I have 8 living children and 4 dead.
Quite a large family.
Yes.
What was life like in Grayson County when you first moved here?
Oh, it was fine.
Was it like today?
No, it wasn't anything like what it is today. We had to carry our water from a spring, and we had no water in the house at all, no electricity. Washing we did on a washboard, and dirt roads, mud roads.
How big a farm did you all have?
Well, Scott's father had 150 acres adjoining this farm, and in 1913 he bought this farm. Scott's father bought this farm and moved to it, and there was 200 acres of it.
So you ended up with 313 acres of farm?
Well, no, he sold the one down there when he bought this one.
What kind of crops did you raise?
Well, corn mostly at that time.
For and feed or for sale?
Later we raised tobacco, some tobacco.
Did you raise your corn for feed?
Yes, for feed, and we had the horses and mules to tend it with, and put up our own hay.
Did you do most of your own preserving and canning?
Oh, yes. Yes, we've always canned a lot, and vegetables and fruit, and made our own preserves, and tapped our sugar trees and made syrup, you know, sugar, maple syrup.
What time of year do you do this, making syrup?
In the spring, usually in February, January and February.
Could you explain the process, please?
Well, you have to bore a hole in the tree, in the sugar tree, and there is some little gadgets they call spiles. You have to make them we usually make them out of elderberry bushes. Saw them off, you know, and they've got a peth in them, and you can poke that peth out and leave a hole in them. Well, then that, and you have to leave them around on one end and then flatten them out, you know, and for the water to drip down into a bucket. And the water drips into a bucket, and then you have to boil it down until it's the consistency of the water.
About how long do you have to boil it?
Well, as a usual thing, we had a big kettle, you know, and we made a fire outside and boiled it down in the big kettle. Well, now we'd pour water in that kettle for all that we'd get in one day, you might say, and then we'd boil that down, and it would take a half a day to boil it down.
About how much did the kettle hold? About how much syrup would you end up with?
About, I guess the kettle would hold 15 gallons. And you'd get less than a gallon of syrup from that much. You boil it down.
That's a lot of work for a gallon of syrup.
Well, it is. It's a lot of work, but it's real good.
Did you ever make sorghum?
No, my father made sorghum, but I never did do much towards helping. Of course, I helped strip the cane and help make the syrup when the sorghum when he was making it. But then I didn't know anything about the process. Had a pan, you know, to boil it down in, and a mill that had rollers to it, and you'd put the cane through these rollers. You see, in a horse would go in a circle around to turn that and grind out the juice and put it in the, and then he would put it in the pan, you know, and run it through a big long pan, I guess 10 feet long, and build up in a furnace under it. And he'd start in with just green juice, you know. Well, he'd as it got boiled down a little, he gradually had a little thing that he pushed it with. I don't know what it was called. But he'd push that juice from one of them trays into the next one, you know, all around till he got to the, when it got done, then he'd open a faucet and drain it out into his kettle. Understand that.
Oh, yes. I have an idea of the process. I just wondered if it had remained the same over the years.
Well, that's the way they did it in those days.
When you first moved to this farm, or to the adjoining farm, where did you do your shopping when you had to go for
at
something?
At Holmesboro.
Was it a large...
Or at Chart Creek. There was a store, some little stores at Chart Creek, and we did part of our shopping in Chart Creek and part at the Falls.
Was Falls of Ruff a large town then?
No, it never was a large town. It had just had one store at that time, and it had a flour mill and a sawmill there. It's at the Falls of Ruff, you know, and at the falls, the water run the sawmill. Out a lot of lumber there.
What types of items did you rely on the store to provide you with? What did you shop for at a store?
Oh, sugar and coffee. Just regular needs. And shoes, clothing. It was just a store that had everything, you know. It wasn't a clothing store. It wasn't a grocery store. It was just a combined store.
By any chance, do you remember who owned it?
Well, Leif Green and Sons owned the store at the Falls.
What about at Short Creek?
Short Creek. I don't remember who owned the store at Short Creek.
By any chance, do you know how the name Short Creek came into existence? Why it was called Short Creek? At the Falls, who had the mill?
Leif Green and Sons owned everything down there at that time. Hmm.
They were the wealthiest people in this part of the territory then?
Yes.
Did you ever have any of your corn ground into meal at the mill?
Oh, yes. We'd take our corn to mill and have a corn ground, and we used homemade meal all the time. A lot better than this molded meal you get now.
I've heard that. I've never eaten water ground meal.
It's lots better, I think. Of course, now other people probably wouldn't think that.
What kind of dishes did you make out of your meal? What did you make out of cornmeal?
Oh, cornbread, mostly. And we'd use cornmeal to, in cooking fish, you know, we'd use meal on the fish to fry it instead of flour.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a mush, they call it. There's a kind of a, well, it's not a cereal,
it would be, I guess.
A cereal? Well, probably. That, it was real good. Still is. I make it once in a while now.
Did you ever make scrapple?
No.
It's using meal and meat, like leftover pieces of pork or bacon, and then you fry it in a container. Ms. Bradshaw, when you were a girl, where did you go to school?
Well, I first went to school at Poplar Grove, about 2 miles from Fort Lee. It's a little one-room schoolhouse.
Do you remember anything about it?
Oh, sure.
Could you describe it?
Well, around 50 pupils sometimes. Sometimes not so many. And
what kind of classes did you have? What subjects?
Well, reading and writing and arithmetic, geography, civil government, history.
Were the teachers strict?
Well, some weren't.
Did you generally have the same teacher year after year?
No, we used to change teachers almost every term.
When did your school term start? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't remember, but just through the summer.
It wasn't like our school today then?
Uh-uh.
Maybe 3 months?
Something like that, yes. Three or 4 months. Once in a while, they would teach a spring school. It was just a couple of months. And then in the summer, then they'd start the main school, you know, the regular school, and teach until up in the winter.
How many years did you go to Poplar Grove?
Just 4 years, Poplar Grove, and then we moved. And I went 1 year to school at Davison Station, and...
Where was this?
That was, I don't know if I can tell you, so it's
towards your creek, sir.
No.
Was it in Ohio County, or was it in?
It was in Ohio County. And down near Heights Falls on Rough Creek.
After your year there, where did you go?
Then we moved to Brackenridge, and I went to school at Glendene.
How many years at Glendene?
2 or 3. Don't get too many.
About how old were you when you got out of school?
I quit school when I was 16.
For any particular reason?
I was going to get married.
That's a pretty good reason. So you were married at 16?
No, I was married at 17. But I was out of school a year before I was married.
Do you remember anything about the churches that you went to as a child?
Well, they were just country churches.
Did you go to the same church every Sunday?
No.
Why not?
Well, one year I'd live in one country and one community, then another year I'd live in another one. So we moved about and we'd just go to the church that was handy.
Did they have services every Sunday at these churches?
No, once a month.
Did you ever go to another church in another community to attend services?
Oh, yes. Once in a while, we'd go to a different church.
What denomination are you?
Methodist.
Do you remember any of the preachers that would preach at these churches?
Well, now, after I was married and we moved to Grayson County, I can't think of their names. It was Brother Henniger. I just can't think of their names.
That's all right. The electricity came to Grayson County about when? Do you remember?
Well, we got electricity in here, in this community, in 59. No, 49. But wasn't Beverly born in 49?
Yes.
In the year that she was born.
Yeah, 49.
49 is when we got electricity in here. But I think that, I don't know if there was some places that they had electricity before this. But I don't know how long.
What was the first appliance that you bought when you had electricity?
Refrigerator, I think.
You had your washer already.
Yes, I had a washer. I had lived in Illinois, and of course, they had electricity out there, and I had an electric washer. I had that already, but a refrigerator, I believe, is the first appliance we bought.
Was there any strange reaction of any of your neighbors to electricity when it first came through?
Oh, I don't know. Someone tried to tell me how nice an electric washing machine was. Well, I'd used one for 10 or 15 years, and so I knew about as much about it as they did, I guess. Of course, everybody was proud to have the electricity and to have the washing machine and the refrigerator.
What did you do for entertainment at home before electricity and the radio came along?
Oh, we had the piano and guitar, violin, and all my children sang, and we'd have get-togethers and sing.
Do you remember when you first got a telephone?
I think that my husband's father had a telephone when we were married. Yes, I know he did. That would have been, I guess he had the telephone in, 1908 or 9 or 10, somewhere along there. We was married in 11, and they've had it quite a while. So I don't know just exactly when.
What type of implements and power did you use to farm with in the early days?
Horsepower and just an old-fashioned turning plow and then a cultivator. Well, first we used just a double shovel plow, as it's called, and a single shovel to lay the fields off with, you know, and a one-horse drill to plant the corn.
Did it take a lot of labor to run a farm in that day?
Yes, it took a lot of labor, but the person had plenty of time. Had time to go fishing if they wanted to. And they was their own boss. They could do what they pleased. If they worked a little harder, they made a little more than fellows that didn't work quite so hard. My husband was a hard worker.
Do you have any recollection of what your crops bought when you took them to market, say in 1912 or 13?
Well, the tobacco, sometimes we'd get 2 9s and 3. Do you understand what that means?
No, I don't.
Well, the leaf tobacco would, and the lug tobacco, that'd be heavier, you know, than it'd be more higher price than the trash and tips. And so you wouldn't get but very little for the trash and tips. The 3 cents was a good price at that time in 1912.
Good grief.
And 9 cents for the best.
Oh. But 3 cents went a long way in 1912,
didn't
it?
Oh, yes. Yes, you could get a pair of shoes for $1.95.
What about a dress?
Well, a dress, if you bought the material and made it, well, it wouldn't cost more than that, I don't guess.
What about a store-bought dress?
Oh, they'd be $10 or $15.
Hmm.
Just a tolerable nice dress. Now, you can get one that you can wear around home for that much, maybe.
And it might last a day or two.
Yes. And they lasted good when we got them back in 1912 and 15.
Did you ever buy hats when you were a young woman?
Yes, we wore hats. All young girls wore hats then.
Were they expensive?
Well, not so much. A couple of dollars. Something like that. Oh, I guess anyone could have bought a higher priced one, but then we was poor people and we just dressed ordinary. We didn't try to dress with the highest flowers.
How did you get to town?
In a road wagon or walk.
Do you remember when you got your first automobile?
We got the first automobile in 1924.
What was your reaction to it?
Oh my goodness, it was the greatest thing ever was. We'd get out and probably come to a mud hole and get stuck. Well, we'd all have to get out and push. And that was all right after we got back. After we got it out of the mud hole.
How long did it take you by buggy or wagon to get into town, say to Falls of Rough from your farm?
I didn't think it'd make that difference.
Would it be more than an hour?
Oh, yes, I guess it would. I don't guess you could drive it in an hour. I guess it'd be 2 hours.
What was the comparison when you had the car?
If the road was, so you'd get over them at all.
Were the roads tarmac roads or were they just dirt roads?
Dirt roads.
So wet weather, you were pretty well stuck.
I'll say you was.
What did you do in the wintertime?
Well, we went just the same. One time, we was living in Illinois and we took a notion we'd come home for Christmas and we got on the train and came as far as Glendene. That's where, near where my father lived. And we expected him to meet us at the train with his wagon, you know, team and wagon. Well, it had snowed and the snow had drifted and they couldn't possibly get there within the wagon. So my father and one of my brother-in-laws was there waiting to meet us, you know, at the train. But we all walked, and we bundled up the babies and carried them and walked from Glendene to my dad. That was about 2.5 miles. And we had to go around drifts. We couldn't go the road. The road was drifted in. But there was paths around, you know, so that anyone could walk and go through. And so we got to my dad's and stayed there a day or two, and then we was going to come on up here to Scott's father's. And we got my dad's team and wagon and drove over to the house across the creek over here. Well, it was drifted in full in this valley here. We couldn't get on over here, so we had to walk again. And we came on.
About what year was this? Do you have any idea?
That was 1917.
Do you remember World War One?
Well, yes, I remember it, but then didn't have much to do with it.
None of your family was involved.
My husband was exempt because he had a family. Had two or three kids at that time.
And none of your children, of course, were old enough yet to fight.
Uh-uh.
What about World War II?
Well, none of my children was in World War II. One of my son-in-laws was in World War II. Two of my son-in-laws was in World War II.
You've been lucky.
Yes. I've not had very many children in the Army. Now there's three of my grandsons now have been in the Army in this last. I don't think they ever fought, maybe, but then they was in the service.
Do you remember the Depression?
Well, yes, I guess.
How did it affect you?
Oh, not much. We didn't have anything, and we didn't expect to have anything, so it didn't bother us too much. My husband worked. He got laid off from his regular job, and he dug ditches in order to buy coal and feed for his family. We never did go on welfare.
You heated your house then with coal?
Yes, we was in Illinois at that time.
When you came to Kentucky to live?
Well, we heated with wood.
Did you also cook with wood?
Yes. We cooked with wood until the stove gave out here the other day. I'm going to get me another cook stove. I like to cook with wood. I don't like to cook on an electric stove at all. I burn things. It's like I can't watch it close enough.
I had always been told that wood stoves you tended to burn things with, too.
Well, I never did have any trouble with them.
Is there any difference in the amount of time it takes to cook something on a wood stove than there is on an electric stove? Does it take longer or shorter time?
Well, I guess it would take a longer time on a wood stove than it would on an electric stove. For the electric, it's the same heat all the time, you know. And you've got a steady heat, and if you happen to forget to fill up your stove, you don't have a steady heat on a wood stove. The fire will go down.
Then you just add more wood and hope you can get it cooked.
Yes.
Did the railroad have much effect on your life here in this section of Grayson County?
The railroad?
Yes.
Well, the farmers could send their stock off, of course. They'd take their stock down to the falls and ship it out by railroad.
This is a continuation of the interview with Mrs. Bertha Bradshaw at her home, Falls of Rough, Grayson County, Kentucky, on June the 26th, 1978. Mrs. Bradshaw, we were talking about the railroad. You said that the farmers would take their stock to Falls of Rough and ship it off.
Yes.
Did you
have... At that time, there was a railroad come to Falls of Rough. There's none there now.
Did passengers also use this railroad?
Yes, it is.
Did you ever do much traveling on it?
Well, not a lot. We'd travel from, near Glendene. It was Dempster Junction was where we'd get on the train and then go to Fordsville. It was just a short drive, short ride, but then that's the only way we had to get there. It was too far to drive in the wintertime with a wagon. And so we'd go on the train down there.
Where did the railroad from here go to?
Well, it went at Dempster Junction. It went from the falls to Dempster Junction, and then one end of it went towards Glendene, and the other towards Fordsville. And it went on down from Fordsville to Irvington.
Would it have ended up in Louisville then?
No. I probably joined up with something that would be ended in Louisville, but that road didn't.
Okay, was this a small railroad?
It was a small railroad. And they finally discarded it, though they don't use it at all now. I guess the rails have all been taken up, used for something else. But up until, when was the railroad done? I'm not sure when the railroad was done away with into the falls. But I guess it was around 1930. Probably, it might have been before that. That did away with the road that come into the falls, although the road still went from Glendene to Fordsville. Glendene was in Brackenridge County.
What were the major towns in this area?
Litchfield was a pretty good town, in Caneyville. And I don't know. There was a lot of little towns, but then they wasn't very big.
Did you have much occasion to go to Litchfield?
No. My husband went. He would take stock up there after they did away with the railroad at Falls. When he'd have to ship start, he'd take it to Litchfield.
Are there any individuals that you can remember in your life in Grayson County that particularly stood out or stand out today in your mind, other than your family?
Well, now, Leif Green and his sons, we were well acquainted with them, and we didn't visit with them, but then we knew them. Of course, they run the store down there, and the mill, the flouring mill, and the sawmill, and we were well acquainted with them. But I don't think of any others.
Are there any events that happened in this area that made a particular impression on you? Any explosions, disasters, floods? That you can remember?
Well, we've had tornadoes and cyclones, storms of different kinds, you know.
I've always heard about the winter of 1917, 1918. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's the winter that we come home from Illinois in the wintertime.
Well, how did it compare with last winter?
Well, it was something like last winter. It was pretty bad. No roof did that winter, just about like it did this last winter. But it didn't freeze and stay on as long, I don't think, that winter. Of course, I wasn't here. We wasn't here more than a couple of weeks, and we went back to Illinois.
That was probably smart. Do you play a musical instrument?
I used to play a little. I don't anymore.
And what did you play?
Just church music. The piano, organ. I learned on an organ, and then we bought a piano in 1929, you think? Well, I don't know, maybe. And we had it ever since.
Do you still play it?
Not to mount anything. My girls do.
How many girls do you have?
I've got 6 girls living. And then my granddaughters, they play the piano.
Do you have any great-grandchildren?
Yes, just 38.
38?
I've got a big family.
You sure do.
We were talking about your husband's father. What did you say that he did?
He cut logs in the winter and rafted them down the river. He and a bunch of men. And if the river at the falls, if it wasn't quite as high as it should have been, why, there'd be a break there at the falls in the water, you know. And they'd have to be awful careful when they got to that falls, and the raft would go over, and then it'd pitch. If it had much of a drop, the end would go under, you know. And of course, they had to run to the other end of the raft, and then as quick as it leveled out again, they'd have to run back. I thought that was real interesting.
How long or how big were these rafts?
Oh, they was... Well, I imagine 100 feet long.
Was this wood being taken to a sawmill?
It was, yes.
For sale, not for personal use?
For sale.
Was this done every year?
Down the river, and I know where they took it to, but I can't think.
Was this done every year?
Yes, every winter. Every spring, they'd pull logs down the river. I've seen many a raft go by.
Did your husband ever go with them?
No, I don't think my husband ever did. His father quit logging before he was big enough to help. And I don't think he ever did go with them.
Did the politicians ever come out and speak at election time?
Oh, yes, they come around and wanted you to vote for them. And they'd buy votes if they could.
How did they do this?
Well, they'd just pay anyone. If it was a Republican, they'd pay you to vote Democrat ticket. And I've known several that did that.
How were they guaranteed that you would vote their way?
Well, don't ask me that. I don't know. I think if I'd have been low enough down to have sold my ticket, my vote, I'd have been low enough to have voted my own straight ticket when I got out there. don't know if some people did that. I guess they did.
Was the voting done by secret ballot or was it done by voice ballot?
Secret ballot. You had to go in a little dungeon of a place and they had a thing you just stamped across.
Is there any election that you remember particular voting in?
Oh, I voted in several. When they had that little pencil of a thing that you just made a cross mark on your ticket. And then I have voted in these new bank ones where I don't know how to vote them or nothing. Mixed up, sure enough.
What was the difference between a buggy and a surrey?
Well, a buggy just has one seat and it has shafts to it and just uses one horse. And a surrey is a two-seated vehicle and has a pole of tongue to it, you know, instead of shafts, and uses two horses.
A surrey would be more comfortable than a buggy.
Well, no. If you just two of you, a buggy would be just as comfortable as a surrey. It was all built up on springs, you know, so this rode easy, lightweight, so they go fast.
Did they hold up pretty well on the rough roads?
Yeah, they held up pretty good. Sometimes they did. You have a breakdown, but not often. One time, and the mule got scared and run off, and turned the buggy over sideways and fell out.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, not about anything. Just a few bruises. I got up and caught the mule and brought him onto the barn.
Did that happen very often?
No, it didn't happen very often. It's the only time I've ever had a mule run off with me. I was driving that time, and my sister-in-law was with me, and she and her little baby, and we'd gone up to my grandmother's to have a carpet wash. Now, of course, that's something else you wouldn't know anything about, I don't guess.
No, ma'am, I don't.
But when you made a rag carpet, you had to have the chain warped, and then you'd have to go somewhere to have it warped, because just once in a while, anyone would have a warping machine, you know. And my grandmother had one, so me and my sister-in-law went up there to get the carpet warped. And as we come home, one of our neighbor boys rode up behind us on a bicycle. And the mule pretended he was scared. I don't think he was that scared, but anyway, he run. And run up on I was trying to hold him, and one line broke. And he run the buggy up on a bank then and turned it over. But there wasn't anyone hurt to mount anything.
Would a working machine that you were talking about be like a loom?
No, it's not a bit like a loom. Thing to warp a carpet on is a... Well, there's one bar across the top, and then there's two down the sides, and you stand it up against the end of the house, and these bars have got pegs in them ever so far apart, and you take this carpet chain and you warp it from one bar to another
and then work it in between,
and then you've got to bring it home and put it in your loom and thread it through the things of the loom and get your carpet started then.
Hmm.
So you've got to have that thread warped. I don't know, it's certain ways that they had to have it left, you know, crossed at certain places. And this frame would cross it.
This thread is the lengthwise thread in the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone wind that up on the big beam in the loom
and then run it through the, what are they called?
Did you do your own weaving?
I wove a carpet or two. I never did do much weaving. My grandmother wove all her life. She wove, oh, ever so many carpets.
Did she also weave cloth?
Yes, yeah, she wove cloth, Lindsay. She made their own blankets and their Lindsay clothes.
The Lindsay clothes are made of what? What is Lindsay?
Well, it's wool. It's made of wool. You spin the wool down real fine, you know, into threads. And you've seen, I don't know if you ever saw a real wool blanket, a Lindsay blanket or not. My mother had some.
No, I don't think I have. I've seen wool blankets, but not all of them.
This made by machinery.
Yes. Did you make quilts?
Oh, yes, I've made lots of quilts.
Were there any patterns you particularly liked?
Yes, I liked several of them. Lots of patterns I like.
Did you ever make double wedding ring?
Yes, I made double wedding ring. I made flower garden and
Dresden plate.
Improved nine patch. Dresden plate, yes.
You said improved nine patch?
They're pretty.
Could you describe that?
Well, you know, in making a nine patch, you just have nine blocks. Just a lot. The same size and different colors, and put them together and make your nine patch. Well, now this improved nine patch, the
corner blocks come out in points more or less.
So it looks sort of like a star?
Yeah, more like a star.
Kind of a square star. No, I haven't seen one in that pattern, I don't think. Were there any other patterns you particularly liked?
Oh, there's one called the Lover's Knot, and there's the, I can't think the names of it. Kentucky Star, and the Rolling Star, and
Lone Star
is real pretty. I've got one of them.
I want to thank you for your time this afternoon.
Well, I hope I have been a little help. I don't think I have, but.
Oh, I think you have. You've added to my information, I'm sure, to everyone who will listen to this tape. Thank you all very much for your time, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Okay.